here today, I want to share with you a few ideas that I came across in the Sefer Oitzer Pelos HaTorah. Oitzer Pelos. Oitzer Pelos HaTorah. We did this a few times, a few short ideas, things that I found interesting. But he has a lot of what he calls pelos, wondrous things. Some of these things are well known, and some of them are wondrous. Never heard of these things, amazing things. So one or two things, I went through the entire parasha, Baruch Hashem. It's not that long this week, at least in the Sefer here. And I want to share with you things that caught my attention. Number one, we all know about the famous commentator, the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, his name was Avraham ben Meir. He was from Sepharad. He was born in Toledo. He was a Spanish Jew, Toledo, 12th century, and he's part of the Mikros Gedolos. He's part of the team. He's a fascinating, original thinker. Says some incredible. We actually last Friday we spoke about his a very interesting pshat in Rav Soloveitchik. I guess last week one of the ideas we discussed came from Rav Soloveitchik's deeper understanding of his pshat in the pasuk. So it's interesting. How old was he when he died? He was, the legend is, he was 75 years old when he died. The legend is the second day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. And if you look in the last, it's not in every edition, but the very end of his commentary on Chumash, if I'm not mistaken, he wrote the following. He quoted a pasuk from this week's parasha. Rabbeinu Ibn Ezra, by the way, Ibn Ezra is the last name. In the 12th century, they had last names also. His name was Avraham. Avraham, what?
And then on the
country. So his name was Avraham. His father's name was Meir. He was nifted b'shnas dalad alafim. Okay, that's 1,000 years ago. We're tough kuf chaf dalad, about 900 years ago, approximately. B'yosef ben chamish, he was ben chamish v'shim shana. He was 75 years old. Of the kama defusim shall perish Ibn Ezra la Torah, and in many editions of Ibn Ezra la Torah, muva b'soif ha-pirush b'zeh ha-lashon. Here's what it says. B'yom sheni, on the second day, b'rosh chodesh ad, on Monday, Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishain Niftar Ibn Ezra Zichrono Levracha, for who Kosav Simon Le'atzma, when he died, he wrote the Simon B'Shas Petirosai. When he died, he etched the following thing in the Sefer Ksivas Yadai Avraham Ben Chomesh V'Shiv Mshana B'Tseso Mecharoin Af. A play on the pasuk of this word, of this pasuk. Av was 75 years old when he left. It says so mecharon, it says mecharon af, from the anger of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I guess that's an expression of death. Death is an expression of Hashem's anger. Okay, so I thought that was a pella to me. Ibn Ezra himself wrote this as he was dying. As he was dying, he had a good sense of humor. As he was dying. Okay. What? Guys, last licks in. Okay. Next Pella.
Not the last laugh.
We all know famous Chazal that why was Esther Zoyche? Why was Esther Zoyche to be queen for 127 years? Because of Sari Imenu lived 170 years. So 120, the number 100, Sarah was 127, lived 127 years, and Esther ruled over 127 provinces. What's the connection? My inyan ze'etzel zeh, my high. So he brings down from the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer quotes a Ramban. Chassam Sefer, because I've davar chidush tiflo, no, b'shem Ramban. Where is this Ramban? I don't even know where this Ramban is. He writes over here in the footnotes, the Ramban shelefoneinu lesa came. That itself is a pella. That the Chassam Sofer is quoting from a Ramban that doesn't exist, at least not in our edition. By the way, the Chassam Sofer, was very mukubal. And we know that for the fact that he writes every so often al derech ha-emes. Art school, when they translated the Ramban, they left out that stuff. All the stuff al derech ha-emes, all the Kabbalah they left out. The Ramban, he said that he was connected, his neshama was connected with the Ramban. The Chassam Sofer felt that he was, in the world of Kabbalah, quarried from the same place as the Ramban. So when the Chassam Sofer quotes a Ramban, it's not just Tom is quoting a Ramban. He lived and breathed the words of the Ramban. Okay, but he quotes the Ramban, which does not exist in our edition. The Al-Sheikh seems to quote it, seems to quote this Chazal. It's a Medrash, Bereishis Rabbah, that talks about the idea that Sari Menu, when she was captured, taken by Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, he appointed her as a queen. He made her, it wasn't just like, when you read the Pesuk, whatever, at face value, oh, she was abducted. Sari Menu was a pretty woman. So Paro, this officer, saw a pretty woman, like we can imagine today what goes on in the world. Oh, so she was abducted. That's not what happened. She was, not only was she taken to Paro, she was crowned as the queen. There was no one that was as beautiful and that was intelligent and made such an impression. Basically, you're going to be my queen. It's very similar. In other words, what Rabban is saying is that there are major parallels between the story, the Purim story. Okay, I don't have any deep idea to develop, but I want to point out this point. There are major parallels between the Purim story, where Esther was taken to Achashverosh, and it was a very big mystery. Who is this woman? Ain Esther Magedes Meilata V'Yesama, and she rose in prominence, and the whole world knew about Esther. The same thing happened on a similar scale with Sarah and Paro. Paro saw this beautiful woman. She was taken, one thing led to another. She was crowned as queen. He never actually lived with her, but she was the queen. And then it got to a point where he wanted to live with her, whatever happened, and then she said, it's time to go. Vayinaga Hashem afflicted Paro because of her. At the same time, just like Mordechai was elevated in prominence because of Esther, Avram was also elevated in prominence because of his connection to Sarah. There's a direct parallel correlation between the story of Mordechai the Esther in relation to Achashverosh with regard to Haman or Sarah and Paro and Avram.
Well, and that is 65.
Sarah was
Avram Avinu was 75.
Okay, 65. 65 years old. Okay, yeah.
Esther was offered half
of the Malchus, yes.
She was offered and given a part
of the empire, Goshen.
She was given
Goshen, the land of Goshen. What else was she given? She was given Hagar. Hagar was a gift. She was a gift from Paro to Sarah. She was a very talented, high-tech maid servant, and she was given as the personal servant of Sarah. There are parallels. Now, this parallel explains many things. One of the things explains why Yosef was able to become the Mishnah Lamelech. Because there's another obscure medrash that Yosef, there's a rule, how could a slave rise to prominence in Egypt? Unheard of. No matter what, a slave would not be allowed to rise to prominence. It's because Yosef was able to prove that he was a descendant of Sarah. Sarah paved the way for Yosef. The only reason why Yosef was able to be the Mishnah Lamelech, to be in this position and ultimately bring the Geula of the Klal Yisrael, it didn't start with Yosef. It started with Sarah. Sarah was on record as being the queen of Egypt. So Mamela Yosef had royal lineage. And that's how able he was able to rise in the ranks. He wasn't considered to be a pure slave. Okay, that I found to be interesting. Let's go further. Okay.
Curiosity. In the Egyptian hieroglyphics in there, pyramids. Is there any reference to what our Torah now has?
No, it's exactly the time period is exactly expunged in history.
Expunged.
Abi in his book, who did it, he's an Egyptologist. Yeah. He said it's amazing. There's 210 years of their history that doesn't exist.
Wow.
They did it on purpose. The anti-Semitism, the hatred. They rewrote history.
It wasn't exactly the brightest moment of the most glorious moment
of Egypt. Right. Well, exactly.
It's embarrassing to them.
It's embarrassing to them.
Just leave it left. It
look, you don't have to go back that far. Go back to Christianity. You don't have to go back 3,000 years, go back 1,000 years. Christianity, the whole thing was covered up in the lies, and no one even knows what happened anymore with Yashka.
400 years later they started writing.
The whole thing, but a lot of the history, the facts, the documents were destroyed. They deliberately destroyed in order to
Pharaoh would, if the guy brought in his own gods, he would have
they wiped out
gods destroyed.
Well, he himself.
Brought in, you get a new coach, and he fires all the other coaches, and they bring in his team.
Okay. Now, I'm not a big... Unfortunately, I don't go often to Eretz Yisrael, but I don't go that often to Chevron, but people who go to Chevron, Parash Chai Yisrael is a big Chevron. Is anyone familiar with this? That there's a Beis HaKnesses in Chevron, okay, Parash Chai Yisrael, Jam in the AM. You know about this. So, in the shul, there's a plaque that says the story, why it's called Amar Avinu. Anyone know the story? In the shul itself, there's a plaque called from the Emek HaMelech. It's the name of a sefer which records the story. And what the story? The story is a legend. It's there on the plaque. That's what it says. Is that there was a year when there were only 9 people living in Hebron. There were more people living in Hebron, and it was Yom Kippur. It was Yom Kippur, and most of the people that were living there, they wanted to go to Yerushalayim for Yom HaKippurim. So there were only 9 people left, and there was no minyan for Yom HaKippurim. And the people were very distraught, extremely distraught.
Someone walked in. You're not allowed to leave unless you can get somebody
to replace you. So that year, there were only 9 people. They were extremely distraught, and miraculously, an old man showed up. An old man showed up for davening. And those days, they stayed the whole night. They davened, and they had a wonderful Yom HaKippurim. And when Yom HaKippurim was over, they wanted to invite the Zaken that showed out of nowhere to one of their homes. And he disappeared. And this person, he came to one of the people in a dream, and he told them that he is Avraham Avinu. And when he saw how much tzar they had, there was no minion, so he was mashlim the minion. That is the legend. Now, the legend is recorded in the Sefer Emek HaBracha, and it's supposedly etched into stone in the Beis HaKnesses of Avraham Avinu in Hebron. So the next time you visit Hebron, go to Mas Machpelah, try to visit this Beis HaKnesses, look for this story. This legend is the Avraham Avinu, he came to Mashal Aminu. As you can imagine, he has a whole halachic discussion, how can the dead be Mashal Aminu? And the answer he gives is, he elaborates in much great detail, many stories like this, he's no worse than Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Where Rabbeinu HaKodesh thought he came back every Friday night to make kiddush for his wife and family, so he was moitzi them. He was moitzi them. So don't get me going there. All the rabbis. Okay. Now this is an amazing story. Here's a story. He quotes the story. Whatever the story is worth, the story is found in the Mamloyes.
When did that story?
The year of the story? I'll tell you in a second when that story happened, according to the legend. Emek HaMelech Chof Ches, the Avraham Avinu story. The Sefer Emek HaMelech was printed. You have to give me 10 seconds. Chof Ches, Ha'arash Shin Tes. Okay, and I'll tell you after. It's going to take me time to find all the sources. He has here the date of the Sefer. I have to go look it up for you. Okay, look it up later on. Okay, here's a story. This is a bizarre story. And the reason why it captured my attention is because the Chazal is a very famous Chazal, and it puts a whole new twist on the Chazal. It's something which a lot of people like to do today, to dilute, in a good way, to dilute stories that are supernatural into something that we can relate to.
Humanize,
or make it, you can take it down to the 21st century where we're not familiar with miracles. We're in a very simple world. Okay, so here is the story. And here's the Chazal. The Chazal is that Avraham Avinu, when he went to fight the 4 and the 5 kings, Avraham Avinu, he threw at them earth. And the earth that he threw at them turned into arrows, missiles, and destroyed them. Okay, that's the Chazal. Yeah. Avraham had no weapons, he went alone, took some earth. Can you imagine someone taking a clump of earth and you throw the earth and it turns into weapons, missiles, and destroys the enemy. Okay, we learn this in Cheder. We have Emunas Chachamim. That's the story, fine and good. So he says over here, in the Yal Mamloiz, it's not the Pshan the story. That's not Pshan the story. The story is, Avraham Avinu, he threw them dust. He threw them dirt. The thing was that the people, the enemies, were so terrified of Avraham Avinu, they died. They died because of the fear. There was nothing in the dust was nothing. It was just dust. But when they saw dirt coming at them, it terrorized them. Ad kidei kach, they actually died. And he proves this with a story. The Mamloiz says about the Rambam. It's an unbelievable story about the Rambam. Think about this. You can even make up the story in a novel, in some fiction story. The Rambam, we all know, was a doctor for the Sultan. Right? He was the doctor. He was a famous, and the Sultan, he loved him. He was in love with the Rambam. there was another doctor who also worked. Okay, they had a lot of people there, a lot of people there who worked there. And there's another doctor that also was very, very jealous of this of the Rambam. So he said to the king, the Sultan, that the Rambam is a phony, he's a fake, and he, I don't know. He convinced the Sultan we have to have a debate. What's the debate? It's not like, you know, the Bible debates, but the debate is we're going to come in front of you. Each one is going to present a potion of poison. And each one is going to give the other one to drink. And if you're a real doctor, you'll know what to do, the antidote to save yourself. And you'll see that the Rambam, and this was a technique that he felt he'll be able to give the Rambam poison, he'll kill the Rambam. That was his. So the Sultan, for whatever reason, had no choice but to follow through. He told the Rambam, "You mask him." So the Rambam said, "I mask him. Let's do it." So they come in front of the king, and the enemy of the Rambam provides a cup of poison. You can imagine today biological warfare, where you can put in a cup. So he put in whatever was available at the time, poison, the most potent poison possible, he put in that he prepared for the Rambam to drink. The Rambam was a much bigger chacham. The Rambam knew all the different types of machlas and poisons, and he knew the antidote for everything. The Rambam already prepared his antidote with his students, and he drank it. He didn't die instantly. He must have taken something in advance to prevent it from any poison from taking effect upon him. And then he, afterwards, it seems like the Rambam, the way the story goes, is he became very ill, very sick, but he prepared in advance an antidote, and they gave it to him, and he survived. And the Rambam came back a couple of days later, healthy as can possibly be, the picture of health. Everything was perfect. Now, it was the turn of the Rambam. The turn of the Rambam to make the poison for the other one. Now, to make a lawyer, there's a lot of details about this, but to make a long story short, the Rambam just took some water, tap water, and put some sugar, regular sugar, placebo, and he brought it, and he wrapped up in a shmata, and he wrapped up in a shmata, in a shmata. Very good, excellent. Very good. He wrapped it up in a shmata to make believe that my poison is so potent, even if you smell it, you don't even drink it, just the smell. And sure enough, he just took off the cover, and the person died. The person died. And everyone said the Rambam is about my face. About my face. Look at this. He's the greatest. The Rambam said, "I'm not about my face. This is just water. It's water and sugar. And I'll prove it." And I don't know, the story is bizarre. You think that he himself drank it? He says, "I gave it to the king to drink." And he can, I don't know how, again, a lot of the details are very sketchy here. And the king drank, he convinced, and he basically says, he died of fear. He died of fear. The pachat, that now the Rambam has survived, and the Rambam is going to take revenge, and the Rambam is going to give him poison to get rid of his enemy. The Rambam didn't have to make any poison, just the fear of death itself can bring death. So here in this Sefer, the Mamloe is shtelt su, and he says, when it says in the Gemara, in Chazal, that Amrimu took dust from the earth, and he threw the dust, at the enemies of Sodom, the four kings and the five kings, it doesn't mean that the dust turned into arrows and sophisticated weapons and missiles. Avraham Avinu was so great, he was such a great person, the fear, umarachan v'chitchem yihiyu ala amim, it's not so far-fetched to believe that a person can die from pachad, just as we know from the story from the Rambam, that pachad alone can bring a person to death. Interesting way to look at a chazal. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Bris Mila. Okay, Bris Mila, let me just cling to a quick machshava. This is a very nice machshava. Why this comes from the Rabbeinu Bachya, and this is just a haskal, just one prat. There are three others. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In this week's parasha, Avraham's name was changed from Avram to Avraham. Yitzchak's name was not changed. His name was Yitzchak and remained Yitzchak. Yaakov's name, both. On the one hand, it was added. So why is it that Avraham was changed for good, Yitzchak was never changed, and Yaakov partially remained the same. Yaakov, okay, there are many mahalchim.
God made his name. Yitzchak,
So Rabbeinu Bachya, so what is one simple answer Ramelsky is mentioning is that because Hashem gave Yitzchak the name Yitzchak, when Hashem gives you something, it doesn't change. Hashem did not name Avram Avram. Avram was named by Terach. And Yaakov was named by either by his father or by his mother, according to Rabbi Bala version. The Balaturim says, who named Vayikulay Avraham? Who named Yaakov? Who named Yaakov Yaakov? Now we've got Avraham Avinu, the grandfather, Zayda. That's what the Balaturim says. Vayikolo with the Zayda, Avraham called him Yaakov. And that was changed, not changed, it's appended Yaakov plus Yisrael. What, so from Rabbeinu Bach, if you read between the lines, he says a very, very beautiful idea, what the difference between the three Avos. There's a medrash Rabbeinu Bach says, not a, Rabbeinu says that the reason why Yitzchak's name did not change is not only because Hashem gave him the name, it's because Yitzchak did not change. Yitzchak, this idea is captured in the wells. Yitzchak, he dug the wells, he re-dug the wells that were dug by his father Avram, that were closed up, and even though he had the right to name the wells new names, to create a legacy for himself, no, I'm going to re-dig the wells, and I'm going to name them the same name as my father. He did now take an opportunity to make a legacy for himself. He wanted to preserve the Mesorah. So Rabbeinu Bach, he says, Mida Kenegan Mida. Since the essence of Yitzchak was not to be Mechadish, not to look to make a name for himself, his entire goal was to preserve the legacy of Avram, just to continue what already existed. Mida Kenegan Mida, what you have will not change. Your name is Yitzchak, it's going to remain Yitzchak. Now that explains why Avram's name was changed. Because Avraham's essence was not to preserve the legacy of Avodah Zarah. Avram came from a long line of idolaters. The goal is not to preserve the Mesorah. Avram was the first. His goal was to break away. Avram Avery, to be on the other side of the world. The whole essence of Avram is to change. What about Yaakov? What was Yaakov's contribution to Klal Yisrael? Was both. Yaakov is the Bechir Sheva Avos to teach us, Klal Yisrael is, that every new subsequent generation has a double role. Mitzad Echad, you have to preserve the tradition. You have to preserve. There's a Mesorah. There's an Avraham, there's a Yitzchak, there's a Mesorah. Don't change one iota. But you also have to contribute. You also have to be Mechadish. This is the uniqueness of Yaakov. Ki Sodisa im Elokim v'im Anoshim Atuchol, both upon man and upon God, upon Malachim. There's Yaakov Avinu brought Chiddush to Klal Yisrael that did not exist until now. So here we have over here, this is a complete idea. This is Shalshelus Hadoros. This Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avraham's name was changed, Avram to Avraham, to express the idea that Avram broke away from his past. Yitzchak was the middle of the Avos. He contributed to Klal Yisrael this concept that in Klal Yisrael you have to preserve, you have to keep hold on to the Mesorah. And that's where it stopped with Yitzchak. And that's why his name did not change, because that's the essence of his Avoda. Yaakov was both. And that's the lesson for us. Yaakov, Mitzad Echad, preserved the Mesorah, and that's why his name never changed. Yaakov, like Yitzchak, Yitzchak, never changed. But Yaakov also was Mechadesh. He was Mechadish, and you have to study what exactly was Mechadish in Klal Yisrael, what the Shvatim and what his Avodah was, and that's why he also benefited from having a change of name. He has both together. Okay, this is one idea. Let's go to another quick idea. A Sandik. Interesting Shaila. A Sandik. We all know a Sandik holds the baby. What about an adult that has a bris mila? Anyone ever go to a bris mila of an adult? I've never gone to a bris mila of an adult. I've always been curious, who holds, is there a sandik by an adult? I always wondered about this. I thought the sandik also. So what's the big deal? You sit on... he's the sandik. Okay, so what do you do? So it says beferish, this is a very interesting idea, is that by an adult, you hold, the sandik just holds him. And he brings a story here from the Munka, and you hold his head. The sandik is supposed to put his hands on the head of the nimol. So if you ever go to a bris mila of an adult, there's the moyel. The nimol is sitting in a chair, or is lying on a bed, or whatever. However the operation is done by an adult, I have no idea. And the sandik holds on, not underneath, but holding on to his head. And he proves this. How does he prove this idea? And that's how it's done. Okay, he brings a story. He went to a bris by Munkach. That's how it's done. He hold on.
If you got to get intravenous for pain?
Technically, yes. Technically, even do it today. They do this today by the sun. By there are some. Go read some of the articles that some of the more modern Mayalim, they do give a very light dosage of anesthesia to the child. Correct?
No,
yes, yeah. They do this. They do. There is such a thing.
Local,
yeah, local, even not local. They put something. They put something in the mouth. There. You have to go read the articles. There is such a thing like this. All right, whatever. It's not. It's not. I don't know. Listen, I don't know. You have to. To each his own. Right. To each his own. I don't know. I used to daven Chaim Blitz. They Baruch Hashem live. You coiled in the light, so they made the big, like a bristen very often. So they used to be two moilim. Just they did the whole show. It was always Pretinsky or Zimmerman. They did every bris mila. Occasionally, you can bring whoever you want. Someone else comes. I remember one Zimmerman and Pretinsky. They don't make any ceremony. They just do it before you blink. It's done. You don't even know. They don't put on a white coat. They don't make any. The whole thing is done. All of a sudden, even Krokom, all of a sudden, one day there was a bris mila, and everything. Also, it's done very quick. It's done rapid fire speed. One day, everything is very slow. What's going on here today? All of a sudden, you look, a white coat. Everything, whole toolkit. Oh, it's like what's going on here? What's going on? Rules, sign the dotted line. Before we begin, we have to sign the dotted line. We have consent of the mother and the father, and so on and so forth. To each his own. Okay. Now here the proof. Now he brings a very interesting proof. The proof is it says that Hashem, who was the sandik for Avraham Avinu. In this week's parasha, Avraham Avinu had a bris mila. Who was his sandik? Who was his sandik? So it says in the Chazal, Hashem was a sandik. How could Hashem be the sandik? Because it says in the Chazal that Adon HaKadosh Baruch was oichez boy. Let me see if I can find it, because there are a lot of pages here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here it says, he was, Hashem held on to him. Mamre, there's a machlekes in the Midrash, according to one version, Mamre was one of Avraham's associates. Mamre was the sandik, but some say it couldn't be because Mamre died. Mamre tried to illustrate Mila on himself, and Mamre died in the process. Who was the Moyel? Who was the Moyel? So I'll tell you that in 1 second. I'll tell you what it says. It's a fascinating thing that he brings over here. There are three versions as to who did the bris Mila. There are three versions. One version says, okay, Mamre was the Moyel. By the way, the Moyel in the Chazal, the Moyel is a new word. It's a modern word. The word for Moyel is the Goyzer. Sorry, crude. Crude, the Goyzer, the one who cuts. Okay, the word Moyel is a new word. The word Sandik, by the way, is a new word. There's no such thing as the Sandik. Sandik is a... How do they call the Sandik? It's only for fact. Let's see what it says over here. There's a that Mamre was the Moyel, and there's another medrash that says the Ludas Hamedrash Zuta Hanal Shemamim Meitzel Avinu Nirash Hasanik Shom Avinu Al Shom Choya Hashem Yisparach Bechvoidai Uveatzmo Kedeis Biyalkut Shmoini Shakadosh Baruch Hu. Here's the rhyme. This is the point. It's a beautiful idea, beautifully sight. How do you know that? I was the Sandik. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Ochaz Es Yodoi Shel Avraham Avinu B'Shas Hamila. What? The Yalkut Shmoni, that's Ochaz. When did ever you see a Sandik holds the person? Ochaz Yod, hold his hand. Enochnami. When you go to the bris of an adult, the one that's mechub mitzadikos holds his hand. He brings a story to the story because he says, I saw my own eyes. He quotes that he went to the Munkach Rebbe, and the Munkach Rebbe didn't hold his hand, but he put his hand on his head. He rested his hand on his head, but shas tamil, and that was the moya. Which Munkach Rebbe? The ene role the loy zor. I saw my own eyes. Biyosi beir Munkach. So he's talking about the Munkach. The Munkach Salaza. Going way back. Who's he quoting over here?
Munkach Salaza used to be a sandik and a moya at the same time.
Im Kvod Kedush Maran Adma Mimunka Shlita. No, so he's talking about his, I don't know. I don't know. He's, no, he's quoting over here. Maybe he's quoting from a sefer. He's quoting from a sefer that's quoting the Munkach. Ech Shenerach Bebes Acholim Bemunkach Bris Milosh Lebal Tshuva. Mvugar, Kibeni was 40 years old, Aide Harav Menachem Mendel Teichman, Shlita, Shliach Chabad, Beir Ungar. Now, so mean this means the current rabbi. Current rabbi is not so old. Beir Ungar, Shabiglilas Ir Munkach, Bekhoid Kudushas Adma Shlita Nishabed Besandukois. Vemir Sabrochas, Verisi Shekhoid Kudush Adma Shlita, Hiniach Yodoi Al Roy Shanimol, Uveze Kima Sandukois. Okay, so interesting. That's the proof is Ochaz Yodai. Ochaz Yodai means that's how you do sandukas. Fascinating aside. Now, one other quick thing about Dar Bris Milah is really there's really a stira. There's really a stira because there's another medrash that says that there was a snake. Avraham Avinu was petrified to do the Bris Milah. Here it is. Medrash Nifla Ma'oid Shahoya in Midbar Kedemais. He was terrified to do the Bris Milah. It's Medrash. Ubo Akrov, a scorpion came, the Akotsoi, and bit him, the Chotach Arlosoi, and the snake did the Milah.
The scorpion
did the Bris Milah. What's going on? We have a stira. We have a stira that who did the Bris Milah? Now another Mechazal says in Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, Shem Ben Noach did the Bris Milah. Okay, Shem Ben Noach did the Bris Milah. And then we have a third Chazal that tells us that the one of the Bris Milah was Mamre. Mamre was the one that did the Bris Milah. So who did it?
Who done it?
So he says an unbelievable answer. There are three parts to Milah. We know there are three parts to Milah. There is the Milah, then there is the Priya. Priya is a very small membrane that's done after, which was given to some of Yoshua. That was not really given. That's not until, and then there's the Mitzitza. So he says, Eilu v'il, Divrei Elokim Chayim. Shem ben Noach did he works with it, so that Hashem did it. It says Hashem did it. Hashem did the Milah. Hashem did the Milah himself, whatever that means. And then Shem ben Noach did the Priya, and the snake did the Mitzitza. Was the Mitzitza the Peh? I don't know. The Mitzitza. You don't want to make any rice from a snake, right? Okay, but very interesting. Conflicting midrashim, and look what he does here. He blends together three midrashim. Mila, Priya, Mitzitza, Hashem, Shem, Ben Noach, Mamre, and you see Hashem was the Sandik, and Mamre did, and Shem did the Mila, and Mamre did the Priya, and the Nochash did the Mitzitza. Very interesting ideas. Okay, we'll stop here.